Charlie Chan, Inspector Duff, and Sir Reginald Bartleby are guests at the Blake home in San Francisco, where Colonel Willoughby, the world-famous traveler, was giving a lecture on China. During the showing of the picture, the film started to slip. Inspector Chan, surprised that the colonel did not notice the blurred film, orders the lights switched on. The colonel is found murdered. The following day, the one man who could provide an explanation of the affair, Simmons, the butler, is found at the front door shot through the heart. Inspector Chan, going on the assumption that the whole case hinges on the colonel's search for his lost son, builds a theoretical case against Gerald Willoughby, the murdered man's nephew. And we find Sergeant O'Brien of the San Francisco Police discussing the case with the Honolulu detective in Mr. Blake's library.
Ah, here you are, Mr. Chan. I just went after trying to get our prisoner down there in the jail to tell us something. But he won't say a word, that he won't.
You advised him, of course, that his identity must now be made known, that he can no longer hide the fact that he is Lieutenant Douglas Willoughby, who was supposed to have committed suicide during the war?
Oh, sure. But it don't seem to make any difference. He says that he won't tell the name of the officer who brought charges of cowardice against him. And that since there isn't anyone alive today who knows anything about it, we can't find out.
You told him of the murder of Simmons, then?
Sure, and I did. I thought the shock might force him into saying something. You see, Mr. Chan, I figured this way. Unless we can learn the truth about the charge being brought against the young fellow, we can't prove motive against our suspect.
You are quite correct, Sergeant. Confident as I am that I know who the murderer is, I can do nothing toward effecting a conviction unless I can prove that our suspect had much to gain by murdering the colonel. Murder of Simmons, of course, was merely to silence the one remaining witness.
You've got more than that to prove, Mr. Chan.
What, Sergeant?
How Gerald was able to kill the colonel in San Francisco when Gerald was obviously in Chicago. Also, how he was able to kill Simmons when he was on a plane between here and Chicago.
Come here, Sergeant. Observe, if you will be so kind, papers on this desk.
Yes, I see them. Airline schedules.
Sergeant, do you ever place yourself in position of person wishful of committing murder?
Well, I try to do that when I'm figuring what the criminal might be likely to do.
Assume with me for a moment, please, that we are murderers with desire to kill Colonel. He must do so without arousing any suspicion of himself naturally.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Potential murderer is not known in the United States. So he engages a room for himself at a hotel in Chicago. He then engages some person to live in said hotel. This person to make himself seen frequently, thereby providing alibi for himself, while he takes train to San Francisco under assumed name and in disguise.
I get you. He gets some feller to hang around the hotel so he's an alibi, while he gets on the same train as Duff and comes out here to San Francisco.
Correct, Sergeant. Having left behind him his alibi, he comes to this house, where he knows Colonel will be, slips in the hallway, kills Colonel, and leaves no trace but few silk threads of scarf on the hilt of knife he used.
Yeah, but Mr. Chan...
Yes, Sergeant?
That don't account for Mr. Gerald Willoughby being able to get off the plane arriving from Chicago. He's got an alibi there we can't break.
I think... Yes, I am certain I know how that was accomplished.
You do?
Yes, Sergeant. Mr. Gerald Willoughby sent wire, possibly in code, telling his accomplice to take plane for San Francisco via Los Angeles.
Coming by Los Angeles? But why?
Because, Sergeant, he killed Simmons, caught plane for Los Angeles, and changed places with his accomplice, who had booked passage in name of Gerald Willoughby. Therefore, when we went to plane to meet him, he had all appearance of having made through trip from Chicago. I have checked time schedules. With time Simmons was killed, and in manner I have described, both murders were possible.
Well, I'm with you. What's the next move?
After interview with Inspector Duff and Sir Reginald, you must go to hotel at which murderer is stopping and possess yourself of a pair of his shoes. Also search for colored scarf, threads of which we found on the hilt of knife. Come in, please. Ah, Miss Evelyn, Inspector Duff. Sir Reginald, we were talking of you.
Have you made any progress?
I think so. Yes, I am confident we have. Although one should not forget that it is unwise to sell the blooms before the seeds are in the ground.
Chinese manner of saying, don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
You have finished little task I set you, Miss Evelyn?
Well, I don't know whether or not you'll call it finished, Mr. Chan, but I've got quite a list made out.
Yes, by Jove. We've been sitting in the study trying to think of all the different kinds of records. It's been quite like a crossword puzzle game.
I didn't know there were so many different kinds of records.
I gather, then, that your list is, shall we say, formidable?
It is. Shall I read it?
Thank you so much.
Sports record, aviation record, stratosphere record, sailing record, medical record, police record, court record, weightlifting record, sales record, birth record.
One moment, please. May I have the list?
Certainly. Here you are.
Thank you so much. Duff, my friend, where is Mr. Gerald?
At his hotel, dressing for the party tonight, I suppose. Which reminds me, we'd better be doing the same.
But you have time to do something for me?
Certainly. What is it?
Will you go to jail and bring to party our prisoner?
Douglas?
Yes, please. Do not for one second let him out of your sight. To do so may mean his life. You, Sir Reginald, will you assist?
Naturally, I'll do anything.
Without arousing suspicion, will you go to Mr. Gerald's hotel and escort him here? Moment he is ready to leave, upon some pretext or other, phone either myself or Sergeant that you are leaving.
Well, I'd just as soon help to prove that you're on the wrong track by suspecting Gerald. I'll do as you ask.
Again, thank you so much. As you leave, please be so kind as to ask Mr. Blake to step into library.
Righto, I shall.
When we receive telephone call from Sir Reginald to effect that Mr. Gerald is on his way here, then you, Sergeant, can proceed with safety to search for colored scarf, which will, I am certain, show where fine threads have been dragged from fabric by engraved handle of knife murderer used.
Sure, and I will. And at the same time, I'll get a pair of his shoes.
Correct, Sergeant.
Pardon me, Inspector?
Ah, yes, Mr. Blake. Is it possible, do you think, that tonight, when guests are served glasses of liquid refreshment, that Sergeant O'Brien could play a role of butler?
What? Me play a butler? Are you joking, Mr. Chan? I couldn't pass for a butler.
You are a good detective, Sergeant. You must play butler.
Of course. I don't understand why you want him to do that, but I'll do all I can to help.
You are outvoted, Sergeant. You play leading role of butler.
Oh, but honest, Mr. Chan.
One moment, Sergeant, while I explain. Serving glasses to guests, you will be in position of possessing yourself of glass used by Mr. Gerald. Said glass will undoubtedly be marked by fingerprints. Said fingerprints may be necessary in obtaining eventual conviction.
All right, Mr. Chan, I'll play butler. But if the boys and the farce ever hear of this, I'll never hear the end of it.
Do not worry, Sergeant. When this case is ended, you will be inspector. I can assure you of this.
And I'm after telling you, Inspector, that I appreciate it.
There isn't anything else, Inspector Chan. I'll hurry along.
Of course. You have preparations for guests. All over here, night of murder, are to be here tonight?
Every one of them.
One more thing before you leave. Little statuette of soldier which murdered Colonel grasped in his hand as he was struck down. You will place that in living room, in some high place where it can be noticed. But where it cannot be touched.
Certainly, yes. I'll attend to that.
Use cloth in holding statuette. We do not wish to disturb fingerprints. But I do wish to see whether or not Mr. Gerald's eyes are irresistibly drawn toward it.
I'll be careful.
And Miss Evelyn, say you desire to leave us to get properly attired for party?
If you don't require me.
By no means. Case is almost ended. Run along and get into your pretty clothes for your pleasure, as well as that of Sir Reginald.
Why, Mr. Chan, how did you know?
Am I not supposedly detective?
Oh, I forgot. I found this piece of film in the library. It belongs to the Colonel's travel film.
Ah, yes. Piece broken off, by the way. In looking at film before, I noticed something I did not understand. Perhaps you, Miss Evelyn, can explain. What is black line running down extreme edge of film?
Oh, well, that's the soundtrack. These are sound pictures, you know, but the Colonel didn't have the reproducing equipment with him. On his Chinese trip, he recorded the sound both on the film and on the record.
Record? Record.
Record?
So stupid of us. Quickly, Sergeant. We go to Simmons' room. Make thorough search. I think... Yes, I am certain When we have found record to which Simmons referred, case is finished.
So, it was a sound record to which Simmons referred in his final words. What secret can the record contain? We'll have to leave that for Inspector Chan to divulge. After you've heard from your sponsor, Inspector Chan will be with us again. Chinese philosophical saying have you for us this evening?
I am thinking of people who are in such hurry to say things that they afterward find that they would have been wiser to have said nothing.
That is very true, Inspector.
Ancient Chinese saying has it this wise. Man can tie knots with his tongue, which his hands can never untie.
Thank you, Inspector Chan, and good night.